Today on the show, we are dealing with Amazon taking over Toys R Us. HBO has to step up their game to compete against Netflix and the Ant and the Wasp box office reviews. We got a lot to talk about. Let's get into it.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Lives, Geek Nerd Tech.
Hey, Keith, fuck these niggas up.
Yeah. Welcome to Black Hollywood Live. This is Geek Nerd Tech, also known as GNT. I am your host, the Keely Shine, and I'm happy to introduce my co-host, Ryan Hollins.
What's up, brother?
Back in the building.
What's up, man?
What's up, G?
Hey, my man.
Good to have
always
you here, man.
It's a pleasure, brother. Always.
Yes,
always.
Sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. So, yeah, speed me up with what's been going on with you, man. How's everything?
Man, life, you said speed you up. I'm trying to slow down, man. Life has been a blur. As you know, we've been in the lab for a while, man. We started at we've done Black Hollywood Live, man. We Geek Nerd Tech. We've been Achilles, man. We've done so many projects, my brother.
Yes.
And now doing lots with ESPN. I feel like Drake without the deal. You know what I'm saying?
Mixtape Drake,
you know, not signed, but having the privilege to speak on a lot of platforms. It's really cool, man, the things that are going on right now. And I think it's just you work, you grind as if you haven't done nothing, man, and you never lose that hunger in that mentality. So,
hey, man, well, as always, I'm glad that you are succeeding and progressing and growing in your broadcast career. And, you know, this is a home for you whenever you want. But yeah, today is we have a quick show today, so we're going to get right into it. You ready?
101084.
Let's do it. All right. So the first story, Uber. They're teaming up with this company called Lime. They want to add electric scooters to their app. I think it's an interesting proposition. So Lime is a ride hail giant that's actually owned by Google or Alphabet. And to have this type of partnership with Uber, I think is fantastic. So not only do you have the, you know, cars as, you know, a ride hailing situation, but now you have scooters when you're talking about like inner city or urban areas and you kind of want to get, you know, from point A to point B in a much more efficient way. Now you have another option. You think this is a good idea?
Great idea. They actually have this resource, I would say, near the beach that I've seen, near the beaches in the form of bicycles. You'll hop on a bicycle, you ride from point A to point B, and you attach your credit card to the bicycle, and
exactly.
Then, you know, you plug it back in, you know, once your time is up, and they got chips to where somebody rides off and tries to steal it.
They're going to text that ass.
They know to find you, but it's a really cool concept because that's just more accessibility. I don't have to go and buy a scooter. I can just rent one. If I have to be at the beach for that day, or I'm at the inner city, or I'm especially if I'm in New York where you got to do a bunch of walking. But I mean, does this promote more laziness or is this just like a cool product?
I think it promotes efficiency because, like, ultimately time is money. You want to be able to get to where you want to get in a fast way. You don't want to be stuck in traffic. Having a scooter might be able to, you know, navigate around that. Like in Portland, which I know you're a city that you're familiar with, it's called the Bike City. And so just what you just said, like you could like download the app, slide your credit card, get the bike, rent it out for an hour or two, like no money's exchanged, just like that. So having this integrated within the Uber app, I think is fantastic.
Well, where in LA would this work? I'm just thinking randomly.
I could see this working in downtown, like you said, the beach. Mm. I could see it working in Hollywood, like anywhere where it's kind of like a tourist attraction when you want to get to point A to point B and back. Like I feel it's dope. Like I would if I was on vacation coming to LA, I would rock that.
Let me ask you, I'm thinking Sunset. You said Hollywood. So if you're intoxicated and you're on the bike, is it drinking and driving?
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is, bro, because it's motorized. How could it not be?
Well, you shouldn't even have it. If you're doing Sunset, you're doing
You have to wear a helmet, bro.
Really?
Well, I would assume so. I don't know how fast these things go, but that's an interesting question. I would assume that anything that's motorized, like you cannot integrate that with alcohol. So, and I'm sure there's going to be some type of...
disclaimer, right? If you're intoxicated, you waive all rights to insurance. But versus a bicycle. The bicycle has a flat tire. I just can't use it.
Right.
If this thing has a mechanical issue,
man, you stuck.
In which, right?
You stuck, man.
Or I turn into the street, or they plug it into charging stations, I would assume, or how long is the usage rate on them?
But
I love the idea.
I love the idea, too.
I'm in.
I mean, I can see this, you know, when we go on our next vacation, wherever that is in the world, like we just hop on a Lime bike and be like, hey, I'll catch you.
I'm in. It's a world Uber. This is a world thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So with that being said, I don't want to spend too much time on this topic, but do you think that Uber as a company is going to make advancements in other areas of transportation like this? Like we've talked about many times before, like them doing, aside from, you know, like the normal way that we utilize Uber, but doing stuff where you could actually utilize like delivery trucks to like, you use Uber for packages and stuff like that, or even helicopters or stuff like that. Do you think that they'll expand into other forms of transportation?
Best thing about Uber is they're always thinking about the next. And if a concept doesn't work, they move on from it. There's no more Uber luxury or SUV, if you notice, because people weren't buying them. Exactly. It didn't make sense to have. But in every city that you go through, there's a Uber tailored for your needs. So as these needs are there, Uber is stepping forth and trying to meet them. So as long as this company continues to fine tune, there's always going to be that market, and you're seeing it right now. You're seeing the growth.
Man, 100%, man. Well, hey, Uber's always trying to like make advancements and dealing with a lot of PR missteps. So I feel like it's balancing out. Uber is still kind of like the leading company in this space. I mean, it's part of the lexicon. Like when people say I'm a Uber, or like I'm a Google it, or I'm Netflix it, or you know what I'm saying? Like they've made it so ubiquitous that it's a part of life. So are you a big Snapchat user?
I'm not. I feel like on Instagram I can do everything I can do on Snapchat.
Were you ever?
I mean, I tried it for like 2 days, but I was like, I gotta keep putting videos up and putting things like I'm not doing that.
Man, I feel you. Well, this is an interesting story. The reason why I asked you is because Snapchat is working on turning its camera into like a visual search engine that will actually link users to Amazon listings. So like if there's an object, a song, the barcodes, like you use the Snapchat camera and then it'll literally go right into the Amazon ecosystem and find that product and then you can buy it. You think that's cool?
I mean, does Amazon need Snapchat to do this? Don't they already take your information and hear your conversations?
Think about the demographic, though. Who uses Snapchat? Who uses Amazon?
Youngsters. Exactly. But what I'm saying is, are they just trying to legalize them taking our... Like no, seriously, Akili, this has all happened to all of us. We'd had a conversation of something or in an email, and the next thing you know, all your ads pop up talking about a particular object. When we were having a baby... These were conversations. These weren't even text threads. And all of a sudden, I get all these baby ads popping up. So they're already listening. So you guys just, are they trying to just be respectful? are they trying to act like we have a choice, right?
Nah, you make a good point. But on the inverse of that is like, hey, if I'm Amazon and I already have a huge market share with a particular demographic and I'm trying to, you know, increase that in other areas, partnering with a company like Snapchat, which is clearly for youngsters and millennials, like to be able to have the technology that will link them to buy stuff in my store or my distribution platform, like that, to me, that's a win-win from an Amazon perspective. I get it from your perspective.
Youngsters are pretty irresponsible too. Right. I think this is bigger for Snapchat than it is for Amazon.
But I think
ultimately for Amazon, anytime that you can sell more and more and more, you know, they're going after the whole market. They're going after everything. They want it all.
I feel you, though. I love the concept, though, of being able to take a picture like, okay, you got that watch over there. Let me take a picture of it. And then it goes right to the store. And now I can get
you like this?
I can get one, too. Yeah, it's a clean watch,
my
bro.
Man. I mean, thank you.
Might have to talk with you offline about that. Yo, did you catch the story, man, about the 12 boys and the coach that were stuck in a cave in Thailand?
No.
Man, have you been living under a rock?
apparently.
Man, okay, so quickly the story is, man, so these 12 boys and their coach, they went off the path. They were in this cave, and there was a sign that says, you can't go in these other parts of the cave because it's monsoon season and the cave could potentially flood up and you'll be stuck and trapped. These kids and this coach went like 2 miles into the cave, bro, and got stuck because it started raining, and the way they came in, they couldn't figure out how to get out. So they were in there for like a cool, I want to say, 8 days before someone found them.
8 days?
And so it was so far that they had to literally like figure out various ways to get them out. And they were concerned because they had to put on diving equipment to get back out because of certain parts in the cave that had filled up with water so high, they couldn't walk out. So that's setting the stage. So Elon Musk was like, well, hey, I have this technology. It's called a mini sub where instead of, you know, putting a diver and bringing in the kids that way and putting, you know, the oxygen mask on them and the tank on them, they could just go in the mini sub and they could just float right out. So my question to you is, do you think that Elon Musk was, because the debate is that Elon Musk with his technology was saying that he could help, but in a way it was kind of like going over the heads of the divers, saying that, hey, your way is kind of whack. Like, I got this new technology that'll just take care of all of that. The way you're doing it is kind of old. So the question is, do you think that that's kind of like overstepping his bounds?
If it comes to saving lives, are we serious here?
Hey,
because at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is that they're saved.
Right.
Is that they're safe.
Ultimately.
And we are stepping into an era where we do things faster, smarter, more intelligent. We don't settle for the own way. So, I mean, logically, just get the kids. Like, who cares how they do it? Who cares who makes money from the commission or the hours? If the technology is there, you got an opportunity to save a life, you save a life. Yeah. If I'm one of those kids, I'm like, yo, Elon, throw one of those things over here. I don't care what government we're in place, man. This is a question of humanity,
right,
and not necessarily technology or pride. So
I love it.
Shame on anyone, my man, who felt like his technology, if this was life-saving technology, yeah, wouldn't step in. And I know those kids would have been very thankful for his little dive suit or whatever, man, the technology,
mini sub. Well, the kids got out. Like, you know, some of the Navy SEAL guys got them out. They had to, like I said, put, you know, the oxygen tank on them and, like, literally in groups get them out. They were in there for almost 2 weeks, bro. Complete darkness, no food. Like, it's a crazy situation. But I'm in agreement with you on that. Like, hey, whoever has the best technology that can help, you know, save lives, like, why don't you utilize that? I feel like Elon Musk is, like, our, like in reality, like, he's, like, the equivalent of Tony Stark.
Mm.
I mean, for real. Like, all the technology that he's built and, like, I mean, would you agree, disagree? Are you a fan of Elon Musk? We're talking about SpaceX, we're talking about Tesla, we're talking about Solar City, all these new technologies that he's brought to market.
So I'm gonna give you a quick little rundown on my take on these electric cars.
Yes, sir.
In Europe, I lived on the island in Spain in Gran Canaria. And when you look out, you can see all the way across to another island, to another shore. It's beautiful. Everything is clear. Hmm. And I was there for a couple months. And I had to fly back home for something. When I flew back home, the lights were, excuse me, not the lights, but the window was open. And I looked through the window. Akili, I start panicking. And I start freaking out. And I start looking around the plane. I'm like, is nobody seeing what I'm seeing? I'm like, whoa, this is dangerous. We're going into a danger zone. The smog in LA is so significant that we actually don't see what we're breathing and we're taking in, that from me being on that island, I could actually see how horrible our breathing conditions are. And I say that to say, if Elon Musk is ahead of his time with changing things, we all as a people have to hop on board, especially in LA, especially as Americans, because this is going to be life-saving. I was literally freaking out. I'm like, whoa, does the plane know what we're going down into? And only I would say those who work in aviation, those coming to and from Europe and those places are really going to see it. But to my naked eye, for my entire life, 33 years of age, clearly I'd never seen anything like that.
Man.
And it completely messed me up.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. You know, that's why I rock with Elon. Aside from his cool tech that he's developed, but just like the ecological, environmentally conscious type of stuff that he's brought to market. But you're right. Companies got to have more social responsibility. I mean, we all live in this world. We can't just be contributing to the destruction of it just because of profit. So like air, we need quality air to be able to sustain lives and to be able to, you know, have you know, the generations, the posterity to come behind us to be able to have a great place, great
straight
world
up
to live in.
Straight up.
So. Hey, well, I want to get into this Amazon story, man, which is kind of close to home. So Toys R Us, as we know, is bankrupt.
Exactly.
So what the deal is that Amazon is saying that they are going to pick up the helm, almost kind of like how they acquired Whole Foods, but they're going to do it in a very unique way by first shooting out catalogs of toys to all their Whole Foods retail stores, and also obviously online. And so my question to you is, do you think that this is a great acquisition for Amazon to now be a dominant player in the toy industry?
Well, for one, we already shop for toys on Amazon. This is something that was already there.
Right.
It's just going to be arranged. And as parents, I don't know. Is this going to cause me to spend more money? Because, you know, we've all had a majority of us an addiction to Amazon. And you start spinning away and you start getting little trinkets. And, you know, you got like seat warmers on your bicycle and, you know, electric lights on your wallet. Like, you know, you can buy and get just about any and everything. But I do like the idea for kids. I don't want Toys R Us to go away. I hope maybe there's some type of tag to that. But I mean, it's genius. You don't have to go out and shop. You just hope we, you know, you Amazon responsibly. Those folks at home, make sure you Amazon shop responsibly. Do not spend your mortgage on electric hand warmers for your garage.
All right, I got one for you. So give me your. I know I didn't ask you this offline, but give me your favorite Toys R Us experience as a kid.
Favorite Toys R Us experience,
or like something that you really wanted, and like pops or moms like, okay, I got you. I'm gonna take you there or whatever.
I remember going in, and you know, we didn't have much, so there was always a price limit. It was, hey, you get one thing. And I remember I got it was like a Transformer, but this was like the knockoff Transformers, the cartoons, but it was pretty baller, but it was Transformers, the dinosaurs. So the dinosaurs would transform into, and it was the coolest thing ever, into Transformers. So it was like a T-Rex that would turn into a Transformer. He was pretty big. I'm always, you know, I'm a tech. We're not on the show. We're not tech guys. So I was like obsessed with that.
For sure.
That toy. And my uncle would always get me Ninja Turtles. You know, he would sneak me Ninja Turtles action figures at the time. And like, I never, never forgot that, man. So there's something about just,
man,
the joy as a child of
100%.
Opening a toy, man. And you see those eyes light up, and there's nothing like it.
You're absolutely right. Like, Toys R Us is like a cornerstone for a lot of our childhoods. You know what I'm saying? Because you would be able to, I mean, I would presume that most of us got a bicycle as a kid, and it might have came from Toys R Us.
Straight up.
Or like you said, different action figures, or just learning how to like be like a builder or something. Different hobbies that you acquired as a kid that helped, you know, develop your creativity or even your intellect, you know?
And when you hear Toys R Us, does it just make you happy?
100%.
Are those endorphins
going to Toys R Us, right?
Endorphins releasing
it's
as soon
like
as the
when
word
you say
comes
ice cream.
Up. Oh gosh, facts.
Not for
preach,
real.
Brother. Preach.
They go hand in hand. Ice
you
cream.
Smiling.
And
look at you.
Bruh, wow. Seriously.
Toys R Us ice cream.
Man, like my little son won't be able to experience that,
oh,
bro.
Oh my gosh,
it's crazy.
He'll have better.
I know.
He'll be daddy.
Exactly.
One toy a day.
Exactly. Well, hey, man, this is a really, really funny story. So AT&T has acquired HBO, and the new media CEO is telling the HBO employees, like, hey, y'all got to step your game up. You know what I'm saying? His name is John Stankey, and he's saying that, hey, HBO, what you're doing currently is great, but in order for you to compete against Netflix of the world, you're going to need to, like, develop just not only premiere content, but other content that's going to have people not just watch once a week, but watch multiple times a day. And he's like going hard, like, hey, y'all not working hard enough. Y'all need to work like it's childbirth, quote unquote, is what he said. So do you agree with his sentiments? Do you think HBO will always be the premier destination for content, or do you think that Netflix has or will topple them?
If you look at trends, and as a history major, you always want to see things trending. You always want to foresee. Netflix is going to take over HBO. They're going to get those larger budgets, and they're going to
think they have today taken over.
I spend more hours on Netflix. Yeah. There's not too many things on HBO that I need to watch or that I even know are coming out. And sometimes they say less is more, but in this case, more is more because it's entertainment. And I can see any and everything. I mean, Will Smith came to Netflix. So these budgets start getting thrown around, and this money's handed out to these stars. Everybody's going to go to Netflix, and I get it. Netflix just started off as, you know, the bootleg, the $1.99 movie, you know, the thing 4 years late you get to see, but now you're getting premier content, and you're getting that, oh, bro, Netflix original, ooh, What is that? Oh, wait.
I agree with you. I feel like HBO has had an incredible run. Unless they change their mode of operation and adapt to and evolve to like the current marketplace and like how people consume content and just our dependency on content, they're not going to be around, or they're not going to be as prestigious as they once were. I feel like Netflix is killing cats, bro. They're killing cats. And I feel like, you know, I feel like John as a CEO is absolutely right. Like, hey, we have to look at it. We have to look at the analytics. Like, we have to kind of operate almost as a tech company, and we have to figure out how to build new demographics into our platform.
And let me ask, and they can't get away with that. Oh, we bought one blockbuster movie and we're going to show it for the next 3 months straight because we paid for it.
Right.
What show on Netflix did you see that was kind of like, Netflix is for real now?
Oh, what, like, you're saying which one? Which
like,
one?
Was there one that you watched? Like, Netflix is for real.
Well, see, I've been a Netflix user when it was, you know, straight DVDs to the crib.
Facts.
Right?
So, you're a throwback type of guy. You appreciate. Yeah.
I do. So I was early on the House of Cards, early on the Orange is the New Black. But I would say the one for me that, that's a good question. What's the one that's like, the one for me that really revved me up? I'm going to say Stranger Things.
Oh.
I feel like that one was just incredible.
You were going.
I love The Crown. What else? Well, I mean, what are some of your favorites?
House of Cards was definitely one. I like Stranger Things. The OA. I don't know if you got to check
that.
Like, there's certain stuff like they found something. And then, you know, what's wild is, you know, money talks. So they're going to get those HBO writers and producers and content creators. And they're going to be like, hey, Netflix, we're in. Budget's there. Money talks.
Are y'all watching Glow?
I haven't. I know about it, but I haven't seen it. Have you seen it yet?
I love Glow so much. Man. Definitely worth watching. It's great.
Now is Glow where the women are in spandex?
That's it. Yeah. There's a million reasons to watch it.
Oh, gosh.
That.
No. They're like former. Like, I'm trying to figure out, you know, like, see, what's tough is with some of these Netflix, we get explicit content. We're getting unfiltered. And, you know, I got four kids. So when those kids go dive, like, I'm watching Luke Cage sparingly. The kids go diving in the room. I can't have a F-bomb or a nudie seed, man, come popping across.
Yeah, keep it off then if that's the case.
Oh, man, my man.
Well, ultimately, hey, man, the fact that we could even compare, you know, HBO to Netflix is an incredible thing.
Facts.
I feel like, I mean, because HBO was such a dominant player, it's a titan. It's like, man, like the content scale is ever shifting.
As a producer of content, how does this excite you? Because you're a guy who's always in the movie, in the television business of things. How does that wow you? I know you've probably done some things with Netflix, right?
Or, yeah. I feel that it's great. The competition is great because it offers more access to, like you said, creators and people that are in this industry to be able to have the opportunity to have their intellectual property.
Let me ask you this: if we're not going project based, let's say just throw out a hypothetical. I know you're a project type of guy. 5-year deal with Netflix or 5-year deal with HBO?
Woo!
Same money right now. 5-year deal. We're not talking more or less. 5-year deal. Which one are you going with? And this is what you do.
You know, that's a really great question. I'm gonna say HBO because it's more prestigious.
Okay.
5 years. And so I think that they're gonna have to evolve, like, to be able to be competitive. So I don't think they're gonna continue the same workflow and business model that they've done for the last whatever years. I feel like come on, nothing's killing Game of Thrones. They still have the best content, like, hands down.
Can they remotely even catch up?
AT&T behind them, bro. They're owned by AT&T. Of course they can catch up.
You watch Game of Thrones. What? How often do you get a new episode? Once a what? 2 weeks? 3 weeks? A month?
I mean, you're right.
You get one episode.
I can't binge unless the season's done.
So you get one episode, and you get show on Netflix.
True.
True. So you want your hands tied, fam. But, is it a Grammy or is it an Emmy?
Well, if you're going about accolades, HBO clearly has more.
That's not a question. HBO's been around a 5-year deal, fam.
I already answered you. HBO, bro, prestigious. Because it's like, I mean, and I feel like I want to say Netflix because, like, well, the thing is, like, Netflix is not showing us the numbers. They're not showing us the viewing habits. They're not showing us, like, how many times something has been watched. So a lot of this stuff, you know, even though you can binge it and it's current and it's different, like, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's actually moving the needle, right? So most of the HBO stuff is like putting it down, bro. They're knocking it out the park. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like having that on my resume as a resume line, like HBO goes way
farther. Are they knocking everything out the park, though? They're not knocking everything out the park.
It's true.
And now we talk about quality versus quantity, but the quantity is there and the quality is there on Netflix also. So you by far watch, how often do you watch HBO? I canceled the service.
You're absolutely right. In terms of my personal viewing habits, I'm on Netflix way more. It's true.
Rethink your 5-year plan.
You asked me in terms of the resume. Like, I feel like it's more prestigious.
I didn't say in terms of resume. What are you going to do? And you chose resume. Don't put that on me, fam.
What would you do, brother?
If I'm you, which I'm not the expert on things, I go Netflix.
No, I asked you the same question. So I'll ask you a different question. So if Netflix had a sports opportunity, a sports show where you could get on there and do your thing, and HBO had the same one, so what would you do? Excited. HBO.
I'm going Netflix because of numbers.
Really?
I'm going because I'm going to get numbers and I'm a larger reach and I'm going to be able to reach everybody. Like everybody can throw out that $2.99 a month. I'm going to reach everybody. Like HBO, you're a little exclusive right now. Okay, drop your prices and we can do some work. Okay.
I can live without Westworld.
I can live without.
You cannot. You cannot.
Versus everything. If I got to pick one Westworld is like 5 shows in one for my entertainment, but that's all I get versus 10. I'm taking 10 shows. It's entertainment.
All right. Well, I want to ask you this. Are you taking this to the bank? The Ant-Man and the Wasp, have you seen it?
Have not seen it yet.
Are you excited to
see it?
It's
out. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Yeah, it's already. You literally have been under a rock. You've been grinding,
bro,
huh?
Bro, the grind is serious
right now. I see.
The grind is for real.
Is it out?
Look, bro, if it comes to ESPN, Disney partnership, just keep it in the fam, I'm trying to be a part of everything.
Man, 100%.
So when you're trying to be a part of everything, you don't really have time to see certain movies, but I'm so into this. I don't even watch TV.
Man.
Is the irony like when that's you how, get on TV, how, you don't how, watch TV?
That's how it works, bro.
Oh,
it's
gosh.
Almost, yeah, that's how it works.
It's a blessing, man. It's a blessing, brother.
Well, I will say this. Ant-Man and the Wasp, it debuted at number one. It brought in about $76 million. It's the 20th movie under the Marvel Universe banner. It ranks the 19th highest debut with its 57.2 million.
Does that mean it's a good film, or does that just mean it's the newest film and things trend up?
Hey, bro, numbers don't lie.
Don't dance.
Numbers don't lie.
No. I didn't ask you that.
What did you ask me?
I said, does this mean that Ant-Man and Wasp is the best Marvel film? Well, or does that just mean that Marvel is just trending upwards, that the next is only going to be the next?
I would never go as far to say that because a movie made, you know, the most money means it's the best. No way. However, what does it speak to as Marvel as a studio? Hey, that it knows what it's doing, that it's consistent. Hold on. But this is why I am, like, showcasing this. Consistently knocking stuff out the park, bro. 20 times.
Okay.
20 times. We're killing everybody.
Okay, but answer my question, though.
What's your question?
What does this say about Ant-Man and Wasp? Stop dancing.
We got to go see it. So when you take me to the movies and we can go see it, then we can make that judgment.
Okay. You talking numbers, man. Okay. I'm just talking numbers, man. Money talks.
I'm just saying, man.
Okay.
Well, being that you haven't seen it, I'm sure you saw Black Panther, and I'm sure you saw the last Marvel movie, right?
Yeah, the greatest of all time.
So okay, what's the greatest of all time?
Thanos in that Avengers 2 or 3 or whatever it was, the Avengers 5 was the greatest Marvel movie. It was epic. I mean, literally, I haven't seen, like, Black Panther to me is its own greatest ever, and then that's the greatest. Like, they hit us over the head, like, oh.
Yeah, they did.
Wee.
I think it was phenomenal.
Did you buy Black Panther?
No,
DVD?
No, I did not, but it was gifted
to me.
Gifted to me, though.
Oh, excuse me.
If somebody bought it as a gift. I haven't opened it.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Are you going to frame it? Put it platinum on the wall?
I was going to frame it and send it to you as a gift.
You are so pro.
So someone gifted it to me, I was going to gift it right back.
What's your artistic take on Black Panther?
Me and you have discussed this offline and like a gang of times on the show.
I'm just messing with you.
Anyway, man.
I told you got offended because I said I'm waiting for White Panther.
So I asked you this question.
And Chinese Panther.
I asked you this question. If you had to invest $10,000
Mexican Panther.
10K of your own money.
Croatian Panther.
Would you invest in Marvel Studios or DC?
Marvel! Okay. Marvel! Okay. DC is like second. I like DC, but Marvel. Did you really ask that?
Hey, man.
I like that you said that with like a straight face. Like, some people
are like really, really serious about this type of stuff, man. I'm a DC guy. I'm a Marvel guy.
Being
so
a DC guy is like being a Samsung guy. Like, you just stubborn, dog.
Okay, I was about to say, bro, because you used to have a Samsung.
One, but I still had iPhone. I just want to dip. I wanted access.
All right. Well, hey, man, as always, brother, I appreciate you being on the show and giving us your takes and time. Where can the people find you, brother?
At the Ryan Hollins on Twitter. Ryan Hollins, check me out, man. Your boy is trying to be a part of every show on every TV, giving you hot sports takes, your knowledge, dropping 10 years of NBA experience, man. Shout out Black Hollywood Live. We in the building, man. It's your boy.
Yes, sir. And yeah, thanks a lot, man, for, like I said, coming on the show. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Akili Shine, AKILISHINE. Appreciate all of you guys out there watching and listening to GNT. Yeah. We will see you next week. Everybody be safe out there.
Early.
From executives, Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram me at King XO Bay. Thanks for tuning in.